The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. Hello, this is Susan Dellinger from the Triangle Radio Reading Service. For the next hour, I'll be reading to you from Oprah Magazine, March 2019, Volume 20, Number 3. And this is the fourth of five installments of the March issue. The cover is a close-up of Oprah as she looks down, her right hand held up at her shoulder with her fingers relaxed in a gentle curl. She's wearing a white blouse, a wide gold ring, and her smooth hair is pulled back from her forehead and falls just below her shoulders. Her perfect makeup gives her an amber glow, and her lipstick is a soft peachy coral. Let's start the fourth installment, as we usually do, with advice from Martha Beck from the Feeling Good section of the magazine. And this month, it's part three of a three-parter, and it's called Traveling Light. For decades, Jessica Pell has felt held back by her weight. Now she's ready to break free, and oh, life coach Martha Beck is sending her on the journey of a lifetime. Emotional eating has long kept Jessica Pell, 47, trapped in a destructive cycle. When she's anxious, food is a reliable source of comfort, but binging makes it difficult to control her weight. Deeply unhappy with her body, she's preoccupied with the idea that others are judging her as harshly as she judges herself, which drives her into a state of anxiety that leads her back to binging. To disrupt the pattern, life coach Martha Beck advised her client to replace self-criticism with self-compassion. When Jessica has negative thoughts, she should consciously redirect her attention to a mantra of words that describe how wonderful she is. Funny, smart, warm, loving. Martha said, quote, "If you can come around to focusing on what's good about you, you'll begin to project those qualities, and that's what you'll see reflected back." End of quote. Did the mantra work its magic? Let's listen in on their final session. Martha: "Jessica, I can't believe it's already the end of our time together. Tell me what's going on." Jessica: "I really got out of my comfort zone. I went to Brussels for a week." Martha: "How cool." Jessica: "It was a big deal. I hadn't traveled overseas for a couple of years because I hadn't felt comfortable in my body, and this is the place I'd never been. Before I left, there were moments when I thought, what am I doing?" Martha: "Did you go alone?" Jessica: "I went with a friend. We'd never traveled together before, and I was worried about my stamina, but it worked perfectly. She told me I had to rest more than you did." Martha: "That's great." Jessica: "Whenever I was afraid all those chic Europeans were judging me, I tried to repeat my mantra. It helped. And the trip gave me the travel bug, which I haven't felt for quite some time." Martha: "How long had you been planning it?" Jessica: "It's funny. I think I started around the time you and I began working together." Martha: "You were ready to break out of the chrysalis." Jessica: "It's frightening, though. I had an amazing time. But as it was ending, I thought, well, I was okay here when I was distracted, but can I keep it up when I get home?" Martha: "That's the challenge. But when you come back to that mantra now, you can anchor it to an experience. Remember a beautiful moment you had in Brussels and remind yourself that you were once afraid, but you had the power to wander the globe on your own two feet." Jessica: "I did something else I've been thinking about for a while. I switched therapists. I'm going to try cognitive behavioral therapy. It's less about my backstory and more about practical things, like how to stop myself from spinning out when I'm anxious and ways to reframe my negative thoughts so I can calm down instead of going for the food." Martha: "That's exactly what we've been talking about, consciously disrupting your old thought patterns and replacing them with new ones, which is how you build connections in the brain. I'm delighted. Do you think you'll go on another trip?" Jessica: I might like to go somewhere alone. This is actually just occurring to me. Even though I'm not happy with some things about being this age, it's nice to know who you are. You grow up thinking your life should be a certain way, and if it isn't, something's wrong with you. But so what if you didn't do the married with two kids things? Maybe you didn't even want that. Martha, you just switched from I to you. I hear that a lot in coaching, when people want to describe their experience yet stay removed from it. It can be scary to reject the massive cultural pressure that tells us what to value, but I'm excited that you're starting to find your true nature instead. That's how you get over compulsive behaviors, living in pure integrity. Jessica, I think I've put a lot of pressure on myself. I've probably seen too many romantic comedies. Martha, we're told romantic love is everything. When I did my undergraduate thesis in China, I researched folk tales, and I thought there would be all of these stories of princes and beautiful girls who marry them. Out of 100 stories, there were maybe 2 that had to do with romance. Everything else was about how to get your life in gear. Romantic comedies are so predictable. Attractive people meet. The women can't stand the guy, but is irresistibly drawn to him. Fate conspires to bring them together anyway. Jessica, I know. There's comfort in that familiarity, though. Martha, it's the promise that someone will show up and take all your problems away, and your life will be perfect from then on. Jessica, yeah, what a bore. Independent films are more interesting. Martha, how did your eating go on the trip? Jessica, pretty well. I can be a black and white thinker. If I put whole milk in my morning coffee instead of skim, I'll think, that's it, the day is ruined. While I was away, I tried not to be obsessed with whether food was good or bad. One night, I did get into a box of macarons, but it wasn't because I was anxious. I did it more out of habit. Martha, a pattern that's deeply ingrained is going to repeat, but it's starting to lose its energy. Have you ever heard of the Rat Park experiments? Jessica, it sounds familiar. Martha, the psychologist Bruce Alexander took rats out of their metal cages and put them in a place called Rat Park, a big box full of wood chips and running wheels and friendly company. The perfect environment for a rat. Then he offered the rats a choice of water with morphine in it or plain water, and they chose the plain water. They gave up the drugs. When he put them in cages, they chose morphine. It sounds like wandering around in a new city, drinking in culture, might have felt like Rat Park for you. You were so caught up in your surroundings that you didn't need to binge. Jessica, I have to keep a positive attitude. But I do have that fear of going back to the same old thing now. It's easier to control the eating in a hotel. Martha, it's true that familiar surroundings can cue the physical and emotional states we associate with those surroundings. One of the things you'll hear from recovering addicts is that being in a place where you've succumbed to your addiction will kick your old negative patterns right back into gear. The way the brain links those places with those actions is incredibly strong. However, just because you're home now doesn't mean you're locked into the same old thing forever. The key is to find what brings you joy, and then old, joyless patterns will start to lose their power. I think you should start planning your next trip. Where do you want to go next? Jessica, I've always wanted to see Morocco. Martha, all right, let's plan a trip to Morocco. Jessica, it sounds so privileged to say that. Martha, traveling does require money and time, but even if people are short on both of those things, I always tell them to plan anyway. If you wait until your finances are perfect and your schedule's clear, you'll never go. Once you start planning, you'll be amazed by what falls into place. When animals go out hunting, they have a mental picture of what they're looking for. It's called a search image, and it draws their attention to things they can eat. If you plant that search image in your brain, as soon as you say, I'm going to Morocco in the spring, your attention will be drawn to opportunities you might not have noticed before. You'll see deals online. You'll talk to friends. Someone might already know someone there. So start planning, and the minute you get back, plan the next trip. Eventually, you may want to settle down, but right now, this is about doing whatever makes you light up inside. Jessica laughs. If this were a romantic comedy, I'd go to Morocco and find the guy. Martha, actually, that's how it works. When you do what you love, you find others on your wavelength. We think that when we get the things we want, we'll finally become the person we were meant to be, but it's the opposite. When we're aligned with our true nature, we're drawn into peace, and that's when everything we've ever asked for starts to come to us. It's like peace and your true nature are your home address. And somebody's been trying to send you presents there your whole life, but you never got them because you weren't home. And remember what I said about going back to the old patterns? You may take 10 steps forward and 9 steps back. Jessica, it really does feel that way. Martha, the important thing is that you're moving forward. Jessica, I'm so proud of you. You've been a pleasure to work with. Jessica, I feel the same way. Now I guess I have a Pinterest board to create. Martha, bon voyage. Send me a postcard. Let's move now to the Let's Eat section. We'll finish this one up. And our third item in Let's Eat this month is what's cooking. And we have a little graphic here, a little watercolor of Snoop Dogg. And the heading is Blingy Bacon. And there's a huge picture of bacon that's been grilled. And it looks like it has a glaze with lots of pepper on it. And it's been cooked in the oven. Snoop Dogg, rap icon and author of From Crook to Cook, serves up seasoned slices rich with flavor. It's been a wild journey from young Snoop Doggy Dog to the man I am now, Snoop says. But one thing has remained constant since my days as a pup, my love of a good breakfast. Whipping up a batch of morning treats is something I take pride in, and now that I'm Grandpa Snoop, I gotta make sure the little ones start their day off right. A heap of pancakes or a pile of fluffy scrambled eggs isn't complete without some of the dog's billionaire bacon. Sugar and spice make everything nice, so I reach for light brown sugar and hot red pepper flakes and let those thick slices sizzle up till the glaze is crispy and glistening. This recipe is so good, it graduated from the millionaire ranks to straight-up billionaire status. Billionaire's Bacon. This makes 4 servings with a total time of 45 minutes. And here are the ingredients. 1/2 cup of packed light brown sugar. 1 teaspoon of ground black pepper. 1/2 to 1 teaspoon of red pepper flakes. The more, the spicier, and 8 slices of thick-cut bacon. And here are the instructions. With a rack in the top third of oven, preheat the oven to 400 degrees. Line a baking sheet with aluminum foil. Place a wire rack on top of the foil and set aside. In a small bowl, stir together sugar, pepper, and red pepper flakes. On wire rack, lay bacon slices and evenly sprinkle brown sugar mixture over them. Bake, rotating halfway to ensure even cooking, until bacon is crispy and glazed, 25 to 30 minutes. Remove baking sheet from oven and let cool 5 minutes. Serve warm with eggs or pancakes. And there's a note here, the secret to extra crispy on the outside, tender on the inside slices, a thick cut. And now let's head over to the reading room. And we're going to read a review of the book Lost Children Archive. And the review is entitled Exiled. An astonishing new novel suggests we are all strangers in a strange land. In Valeria Lucelli's Lost Children Archive, a couple who met producing an oral history of New York City take to the road with their young son and daughter to pursue their respective obsessions. He's tracing the fate of the last free Apaches. She's desperate to learn what's happened to a pair of immigrant sisters who've gone missing somewhere along the U.S. southern border. As they make their way west, stopping at funky motels and cabins, the kids struggle to make sense of their parents' growing alienation from each other. To gain their attention, the boy hatches a radical plan that drives them further apart. Lucelli long ago proved she's a master of formal experimentation. A fiction writer, yes, but with a reporter's instincts. As she did in The Story of My Teeth, an absurdist novel she wrote in collaboration with laborers at a Mexico City juice factory, Lucelli confronts many big-picture questions in Lost Children Archive. What does it mean to be American? To what lengths should we go to bear witness? Will history ever stop repeating itself? Lucelli's nonlinear style and rotating viewpoints help draw parallels between our immigration crisis and historical atrocities, bringing large ideas about nationhood to a knife's point. All the while, her language is so transporting, it stops you time and again. Quote, "We fell in love, completely irrationally, and head first, like a rock might fall in love with a bird," end quote. Not since Lolita has a road trip so brilliantly captured the dark underbelly of the American dream, the gulf between its promise and reality. And next, we have a review of the book Deep Creek, Finding Hope in the High Country. The review is entitled On Top of the World. The rodeo queen of American letters settles down a little. When Pam Houston was a little girl in New Jersey, she hid in her family's clothes dryer to escape her father's alcohol-fueled wrath. She was 4 when he first assaulted her. The physical and sexual abuse continued until she left for college. As a Denison University undergrad, Houston studied creative writing, which she continued in grad school, and in 1992, she published her first, now iconic book, Cowboys Are My Weakness. Fictional tales of smart women in love with men who are a bit wild and hard to pin down. With $21,000 in royalties from that book, she made a down payment on her first and perhaps forever house, a 120-acre ranch that sits 9,000 feet up amid the Colorado Rockies. The 57-year-old's latest work, the memoir Deep Creek, Finding Hope in the High Country, is an ode to the habitat that's enabled her to put her troubled childhood behind her and the place where she writes, quote, "I finally realized I could be the cowboy," end of quote. O's Books editor, Lee Haber, spoke with Houston about the ranch that, quote, "opened my heart like a tin can," end of quote. Lee, what possessed you to buy a remote piece of land all by yourself at the age of 31? Pam, maybe I was trying to replicate the danger I felt as a kid. I dared myself to do it, but it turns out the ranch isn't dangerous. It's consistent. The sun shines, the grass grows. It snows, then the snow melts. Animals die and new ones are born. It only asks that I witness the changing of the seasons, that I cover the logs with weather guard, that I hack rivers in the ice to drain the pasture. Now with the property finally paid for, it feels less like a feat and more like an old friend. Lee, but isn't it also hard? Pam, like any deep relationship, there's always the other side. Not long ago, there was a bear attack and all my lambs were killed. Right now, we're in a drought. With climate change, we'll see more of that. But when the chores are all done, the ranch is a meditation in stillness. Lee, I'd imagine that being in such a beautiful, peaceful place is good for writing. Pam, I got so many of what I call glimmers from just looking out my kitchen window or staring up at the snow-covered mountains. I record what I see, and often those observations become the basis for the thing I'm writing next. At other times, though, an impersonal hotel room or a crowded airport when my flight's been canceled is just as conducive. Lee, you write that you're happiest with one plane ticket in my hand and another in my underwear drawer. But these days, does the ranch beckon you? Pam, traveling is in my blood and bones. There is still nothing that makes me happier than getting off a plane in a country I've never been to. But the ranch has taught me about commitment and digging in. Lee, it's not all solo up there, though, is it? Pam, I am actually related to almost no one in the world anymore. But I do have a wonderful group of friends who visit, and an equally wonderful series of writing students who come and help me on the ranch and watch my animals while I'm away. But the big news is I got married last August to a man who knows his way around a screwdriver and a chainsaw. I'm excited to be in love and to have his help. Lee, you say that all the while you thought you were taking care of the ranch, it was taking care of you. Pam, this is the only real home I've ever had. That I survived and that the ranch did suggests something good about my karma. If you live long enough, you quit chasing things that hurt you, and you eventually learn to hear the sound of your own voice. And next, we have a review of the book Merchants of Truth. The review is entitled The Gatekeepers. Don't be thrown by the fact that Jill Abramson's Merchants of Truth weighs in at 500 plus pages. Yes, it's an exhaustive account of four entities: The Washington Post, Vice, BuzzFeed, and the author's alma mater, the New York Times, and how each fits into our Westworld-esque mediascape. But the reporting's as tantalizing as it is meticulous, as if we're one of the BuzzFeed wonks plotting the next Digerati Vogue, or in the room with the Post's Donald Graham as he makes the painful decision to sell the family business to Jeff Bezos. Abramson, a superb journalist who in 2011 was the first woman to be executive editor of the Times, and in 2014 the first to be pushed out, here unfurls a tale of print heroes in a battle for survival and tech entrepreneurs out to slay the status quo. Is the fourth estate in its heyday or a death spiral? TBD, she concludes. But what's crystal clear after reading this paean to the free press in all its messy glory is that Abramson's on the side of journalism's guardians, those who adhere to the Washington Post's newly minted motto, "Democracy dies in darkness." And now let's take a look at Where Are You Going? And each month this is a two-page photo spread of women doing really interesting things, sometimes really dramatic, scary things. And in this case, we're high up in the clouds over a barrier island in Florida, which you can just barely see down below. It's a lot like looking down on Hatteras on the Outer Banks. And there are about 20 skydivers, and they're all upside down in a circle holding hands. And one of them is Amy Chumalecki. And let's hear what this has to say. Amy Chumalecki, professional skydiver, breaking a world record over Sebastian, Florida. Amy says, "When I was 14, I heard two women talking about having gone skydiving, and my ears instantly pricked up. I knew what it was, obviously, but hearing their conversation made it real. I imagined myself somersaulting through the air, and as soon as I conjured up the visual, I thought, oh, I have to do that." Right after I turned 18, the minimum age in the U.S., I did my first jump and absolutely loved it. After college, I moved to Arizona near a large skydiving facility. I thought, I'll treat myself. I'm going to goof off for a year, wait tables, skydive-a-ton, and figure out what to do next. But 1 year turned into two, then three. I was spending all my tip money on jumps and eventually became a teacher and full-time skydiver. It was strange for my family at first. They said, "You're going to do this full-time? When are you going to get a real job? When are you going to have kids?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm not. I'm not doing any of that." Last year, a partner at Red Bull and I organized an event called Fly Girls. We assembled more than two dozen female skydivers to try to set a record. To succeed in that kind of an attempt, you probably need to have jumped hundreds of times. I'd estimate that the ratio of men to women at that skill level is about 10-1. To drive things home, we made sure the whole team, the production crew, the photographers, and even the pilot were women. That day, 26 of us jumped, and we did break the world record for most vertical female skydivers linked in multiple formations in the air at one time. I wasn't too surprised. We were completely in sync, in an unstoppable mindset, but I was pretty amazed that we did it in one try. It was so wonderful to watch everyone in free fall, diving and spinning like a starburst of human beings. And I was so happy to achieve something brand new alongside my friends, hand in hand, hurtling through the sky. Let's go now to the Big Spring Lookbook, the fashion lookbook from Oprah. And we looked at several pages in the last installment, and we're going to look at three or four more pages now. And we are on a page that is definitely a 1970s vibe. We've got tie-dye, crochet, and macrame. And the heading is called Cali Cool. Laid-back pieces like a tie-dyed sweater, a distressed fedora, and a crocheted dress, and a bag make the hippie aesthetic feel modern. And the inspiration for this, the runway look, is from Prabal Gurung Spring 2019 collection. So we have a model walking down the runway, and she's got on a hoodie. And it's very oversized, and the sleeves are longer than her arms. And the hoodie is in bright yellow, white, and indigo blue. And it's been tie-dyed. So the bottom of the body, the bodice, and the sleeves are sunshine yellow. And then there's this ombre effect. It goes to white in about a 6-inch band that goes about at the bust level and the middle of the sleeves. And then the top and the hood, again, it's this sort of ombre tie-dyed, so you're going to this indigo blue. And the model is wearing this over pants, denim, and it's that really fine denim, almost silky-like. But it is top-stitched. The pants are top-stitched with that gold thread. But from the thigh to the hem, they have this sort of feathery-like fringe, and it's a little hard to tell from the picture how that is achieved, but they're really full and fluffy, essentially. And then it's worn over some white ankle boots, very pointed toe, probably a stiletto heel. So now let's look at the items the Oprah crew has curated for us off this look. And each of these items is photographed and then cropped, so they're all shown against a white background with a few shadows, and the pages are really engaging and bright and colorful. So right in the middle of the page, we have that ombre effect tie-dye in a V-neck sweater. It is yellow across the shoulders, then kind of a light almost robin's egg blue at the bust line, ending in a dark kind of intense blue. It is $194 from minirose.com. It has a V-neck, And the hem and the sleeves both end in a little bit of a frayed effect. And below that, we have from Nick and Zoe for $218 a white crochet dress. There are several different patterns of crochet, and they're in wide diagonal stripes on the body. Kind of a wide scoop neck, 3/4 length sleeves that end in fringe, and there's a sort of nude-colored, flesh-colored lining to the dress. And the hippie aesthetic would not be complete without a pair of jeans. We have a pair of very pale washed carpenter pants here. They're $250 from Paradiced.com. They're a trouser leg, kind of wide, classic buttoned and side pockets. But there's a loop on the side of the pant leg for your hammer or whatever other tool goes with your carpentry gig. Now, the next item on here is a white t-shirt with a dark blue binding at the neckline. And what's cute about this t-shirt is it doesn't have the long kind of full sleeves. It's got almost like a little cap sleeve. And then it has a graphic across the front. And it's a photograph looking down at brightly colored umbrellas on the beach. And there are rows of these brightly colored umbrellas. The t-shirt is from Splendid Times Gray Malin. It's $98 at splendid.com. It comes from photographer Gray Malin and clothing brand Splendid's Capsule Collection. And the kind of pocketbook you would absolutely have to have with this hippie aesthetic is a natural colored macrame cinch bag. It's a shoulder bag from thesack.com and it's $79. This natural color macrame is, or crochet, is trimmed in kind of a tan color, and it has a tan shoulder strap and tan tassels. And there's a mule, a slip-on shoe here from Bernardo, and it has about a 2.5-inch chunky wooden heel. What I've noticed in a lot of the shoes we've looked at so far is the chunky heels kind of flare out. This one ends in about 1/2-inch at the bottom is a square piece of clear acrylic. And then the sort of the body, the part of the mule that covers the arch and the top of the toes is, again, crochet. And it's natural and navy blue and light blue stripes that kind of form a square pattern. And that's $248, and go to Bernardo1946.com to find that mule. And now, another item on this page is a gold chain. It's kind of a long gold chain, and this is from SoulSociety.com, and it's $48. And it has 3 charms on it. The charms are kind of the shape of something like maybe a coffee bean. One of them's gold with little diamonds inset down the center. The other one is gold tone with covered in pave diamond-like stones. And then the third charm is like a white enamel with colored stones set down the middle of it. And to top all this off, we have this very well-worn looking chocolate brown straw fedora. It looks like it's sat in the back of a car and been bleached by the sun. And it has a dark blue but faded grosgrain ribbon. It's $318 at mybob.be. Now, going with that 1970s hippie aesthetic, we have four shoe selections here. Stay effortlessly pulled together with sandals, sneaks, and slides that are both cute and comfy. The first pair is the classic Teva sandal with the strap that goes right above the toe and straps that go around the ankle and then the strap that connects the two. This $50 sandal from Teva has a white sole and the straps are pink with a little sort of blue geometric or floral design. It's kind of hard. It's a little hard to see. So you've got pale pink and different shades of blue. Now below that, we've got your classic two-strap, two-buckle Birkenstock. And the split leather is in pink with little silver metal embellishments on it, like little discs, and that's $240. And then below that, we have a sneaker from Traytorn, $80, and you can go to neimanmarcus.com. This is a throwback to a tennis shoe from a good 40 years ago. It's all white, except that it has this gradient yellow, orange, and red sort of swoop in the middle of the shoe. And finally, from Sperry, for $60, we have a slip-on that looks tie-dyed. We've got the big white rubber around the sole, and it looks, like I said, tie-dyed. The back of the shoe is kind of an azure blue, and the front of the shoe is faded magenta with kind of a white, it's kind of pink and kind of blue right there in the middle. When we turn the page for our great buys under $100, we are met with intense rain slicker yellow clothing items. And this is all of these items have been curated based on the Pure Moss Spring 2019 collection. The model is wearing this really silky long dress. It has almost like a turtleneck. The left arm is bare. The shoulder is bare. The right arm is covered with a long sleeve with a deep cuff. And the body of this long dress is ruched and kind of sweeps around the body, but yet is still kind of slender and almost form-fitting. And it ends in, I think, what's called a handkerchief hem, in that we have lots of points of fabric, so we have slits that show the legs. And the O staff tells us, here's a golden opportunity. Whether you go for all-out color or just an accent, yellow will boost your sunny disposition. One of the big items on this page is a yellow hooded anorak, and it's $50 from oldnavy.com. And then we have some very wide leg trousers in this brilliant rain slicker yellow, and these are $72 from asos.com. There are pleats on over each hip so that that adds to the volume, the width of each leg of the pants, because they're really deep pleats. And then the next item is a pair of yellow sandals. Little strappy sandals with a great big chunky flared heel. They're yellow suede, a little half-inch strap goes over the toes, and a little half-inch strap goes over kind of the top of the foot right before the ankle with an ankle strap. And they are $80 from SoulSociety.com. For $80, there is a natural woven tank top, and this is a thick kind of, you know, like you could have crocheted or knitted this at home, and it's trimmed in a big black and gold kind of diamond pattern around the neckline, on the shoulder seams, the armholes, down the sides, and across the bottom. And then we have a bright sunny yellow V-necked dress with no sleeves from the Eva Mendez collection at New York & Company for $80. And it's a very slender hourglass shape. And there's this slightly diagonal white stripe that goes from the left arm opening down to the hem. And like I said, it's white and it's got black buttons on this about 2-inch wide stripe with black piping on each side. For accessories, there's this wide 3-inch cuff bracelet for $32 from AccessoryConcierge.com. And it is a, it looks like a bright sunshine yellow Bakelite on one side, and then the other half of it looks like a tortoise shell. So it gets that real nice amber color and some brown. And now we have this large tote bag from Sandra Roberts for $98 from irresistibles.com. And it's a woven pattern, like maybe 1/4-inch wide leather strips. And they're yellow and orange and natural and chocolate brown and blue. So, and it has gold tone trim and a canvas strap. And that's $98 from irresistibles.com. Okay, and so now we're finished with all of our bright yellow. And in the bottom of the page, we have Wow, What a Deal, a new launch. Ellen DeGeneres and Walmart bring you EV1, an affordable and size-inclusive line that has it all, from jackets to jeans to PJs. And this is a denim jacket for $28 from Walmart.com, and it is on a natural white background with vertical, kind of denim blue and dark blue stripes. The stripes are horizontal. And we have one more packed page of fashion, and this is Adam's A-List, some of my fave finds for spring. In the upper left-hand corner, we have a picture from the Chanel Spring 2019 runway. We have a model wearing basically biker shorts that come below the knee, and with her bare feet and just a black tank top underneath, she's got on this kind of oversized, sort of bright pastel pink jacket. It's very boxy, very square, with big pockets sewn on top, and it's double-breasted. It has a wide lapel. And so to recreate this look, Adam says, play with proportions by pairing slim shorts with a long jacket that hits below the hip. And there are a pair of these sort of biker-looking shorts from Spanx, and they're very skinny, and they're an imitation leather look. And these look like they come about to the knee. And they've paired this with this very neutral, kind of beigey, creamy color jacket. It's a very soft, tweedy plaid, and it has no collar and no lapel, and again, it's very boxy, big patch pockets on the front, and then it has about 1.5 inches wide piece of black trim that runs all the way up the front and around the neckline, and then at the base of the sleeves. Adam says, get a leg up. I never thought I'd see the day, but biker shorts are back. Bonus, Spanx has added the slimming tummy and thigh control you didn't have the first time around. Faux leather shorts, $68 at Spanx.com, and the jacket is $169 at AnnTaylor.com. The second item, it says all in the wrist. A dainty tennis bracelet always works. Stack multiples of this colorful cuff version, or mix one into your current arm party. The cuffs are from $54 each at shopsashi.com. So these are little like bangle bracelets that look like tennis bracelets. So they have lots of stones in a row. And the first one is sort of multicolored. It has 4 or 5 pink, then blue, then yellow, then green stones. There's one here that's all bright pink stones, one that's bright emerald-like stones, and one that's bright sapphire-like stones. The third item, suit yourself. And this is a tank swimsuit in a dark blue and in white, in about 4-inch letters on the front. It says Sisterhood. Adam says, I love everything Reese Witherspoon, especially her entrepreneurship and her activism. Her brand, Draper James, and designer Helen John recently collaborated on a swimsuit that says it all. One piece, Draper James by Helen John, $164. And go to draperjames.com to find that one. The next look is a pairing of a big bulky sweater and jeans with a Western look. The big sweater is off-white with some small horizontal stripes that separate that big sort of God's eye-like pattern, and they are across, and they're about maybe 5 inches tall, and the first row is kind of a rosy pink, and the second row is sort of a denim blue, shades of pink and blue with a little bit of brown in there. And they are paired with a pair of jeans that have that sort of southwestern, it's almost like a chevron, but these are, this pattern is in light and sort of medium denim blue. Adam says, best Western. There's something so cozy about southwestern style. Keep things traditional with a distinct pattern sweater, or opt for the subtle embellishment of printed jeans. The sweater is $69 at llbean.com, and the jeans are $119 at nydj.com. And now, next up, Tune Time. Coach has teamed with Disney for a collection that's as fun as it is fabulous, with appearances by Dumbo, Bambi, Thumper, and Pinocchio. We have a white leather camera bag here, Disney by Coach, $275, and you can go to coach.com to find this. And on the front of this bag is, it's a reproduction of a cartoon drawing of Dumbo. Now, the bottom half of this page says, Pretty in Plaid. Join the prep rally with soft-toned, springy iterations of the well-loved print. The runway inspiration for this is from Escada Spring 2019, and the model is wearing a real slender mini skirt, and it's kind of a lime green, yellow, and pink, almost window pane plaid. And being worn over that, another plaid, a little bit larger size, again, that sort of window pane look, but on the diagonal, oversized silk blouse with a variation on that, the color scheme with the pink, the green, and the yellow. And then what's the shoes are green and pink with yellow lace-up athletic shoes, running shoes. And the model is holding a lime green clutch. Well, it's a shoulder bag with a gold chain strap. So based on that runway look, the folks at O have found us a sheath dress in an oversized diagonal plaid of a pastel rose pink, a robin's egg blue, and a little bit of tan thrown in there, and it's got a sash belt. It's $159 from Lauren Ralph Lauren, and you can go to Macy's.com to find it. Here's another item from Land's End, a polo that's in a tiny navy blue and white gingham check with a white collar, a little bit of navy blue on the edging, and some small buttons. So that's $40 at Land's End. Also, we've got a bright green and tan and gray plaid bucket hat. It's $65 from FrancisValentine.com. In the middle of this bottom section of the page, we have a handbag, which is a nice kind of envelope style, and it's a plaid with pink and yellow and kind of a sherbet green and a little bit of lavender and some more pink and kind of a peachy color. And it's an oversized check. And it is from Zach Posen, and it's $395. A couple of more items under Pretty in Plaid. We have a very traditional double-breasted jacket, very classic styling, wide lapel that comes out just a tiny bit wider than the notched collar, and it's six white buttons and nice flap pockets. And the plaid is gray and black on a pale pink with a little bit of a green stripe in there. The blazer is $695 and it's from veronicabeard.com. And our final item under plaid is a little pair of mules in a pink gingham and a little half-inch wooden heel. They're $345. You can find them at zappos.com, and they're from Repetto. And that finishes off the Big Spring Lookbook. So as we're getting close to the end of this fourth installment, let's go to Live Your Best Life, and let's look at this article under the heading Kick Butt. There's no time like International Women's Day, which was March 8th, to start a feminist book club or patronize a female-owned business. Let these women, who made headlines and history in 2018, inspire you to take action. And in the very middle of this collage of women who inspired us from 2018, we have a picture of Christine Blasey Ford, PhD, as she is standing in her very serious black suit with her eyes closed and her hand up taking the oath. She recounts under oath her memories of a terrifying high school encounter with future Supreme Court Justice Brett Kavanaugh. While sexual assault survivors speak up, Ford is dismissed by pro-Kavanaugh politicians and sent death threats, but never once backs down. We have a picture here of a couple of the women on Team USA women's hockey team. The players say puck off unless their governing body treats them on par with the men. The athletes get a salary bump and go on to stick it to Canada and strike gold at the Winter Olympics. We have a picture of a scientist holding up a beaker. Donna Strickland, PhD, becomes the third woman to receive the Nobel Prize in Physics and shares a stage with Frances H. Arnold, PhD, the fifth female ever to nab the esteemed award in chemistry. Weird science? Not for these two. Next, former Navy pilot Tammy Jo Schultz safely lands a Southwest Airlines plane after its left engine explodes at 32,000 feet. The saved souls, 143 passengers, 5 crew, applaud the pilot's steel nerves. We're dubbing her, "Oh Captain, My Captain." Reporters Megan Toey and Jody Cantor lead the New York Times to a Pulitzer Prize in public service with their exposés on systemic sexism and abuse in Hollywood. Their articles have IRL consequences, proving there's still plenty of news fit to print. Order in their courtrooms. 17 black women run for judicial seats in Harris County, Texas. All are victorious. Along with two already elected peers, they form a new supergroup, the hashtag Houston19. Now we have a picture of a San Francisco Giants cheerleader. Proving NFL players don't have a monopoly on exercising First Amendment rights, 49ers cheerleader Kayla Morris becomes the first pom-pom mover and shaker to take a knee a la Colin Kaepernick in protest of racial inequality and police brutality. And finally, the New York Stock Exchange trades up as Stacy Cunningham is appointed president of the 226-year-old male-dominated institution, giving Wall Street's glass ceiling a sizable crack. As we finish off this hour, let's look at some items from the O list. We have a collection here of about 6 different watches, all brightly colored. Their faces are kind of bright primary colors. They're simple and slender arm and minute hands, and the very simple graphics and little notches for the hours and the minutes on the front. If the hue fits, for those who'd faint if their shoes clashed with their belt, here's a watch with interchangeable silicon straps in an array of colors, so you can coordinate an everyday accessory to your outfit or mood. Aaron Kuehler silicon watches, $95 each, and straps, $30 each, at Skagen.com. And the straps are in kind of the bright primary colors, as well as some subtle olive greens and robin's egg blue. Under the heading Wheelie Good, we have a couple of those hard shell wheelie suitcases in some bright colors. The first one's fire engine red, and it has little yellow hubcaps on the black wheels and brightly colored zippers. And then another is in 2 shades of lavender with kind of an aqua color and on the hubcaps and a bright yellow handle. If you simply must have it your way, you can customize almost every part of this luggage from the hubcaps to the zipper pulls in your choice of up to 11 colors. These rainbow bright pieces will almost make you forget just how little leg room you have. The Jaunt XL, originally $395, and the Globetrotter, originally $495, now $50 off with code OPRA at RomeLuggage.com. At CupcakeMarketNYC.com, you can get 5 sugar cookies for $100, and they can have the faces of some of your favorite friends on them. The ones shown here are Gail, Oprah, and Adam. And we've run out of time for today's episode of Oprah Magazine. Be sure to listen next time. We hope you've enjoyed it. I'm Susan Dellinger, reading for the Triangle Radio Reading Service. The content of this program is intended for people who are blind and print impaired. This broadcast is readily available as a podcast after the broadcast at our website, triangleReadingService.org. So long until next time. If you have any comments or questions, please call 919-832-5138.